Jesus Christ has been in complete control of his own arrest since they came to get him. Just, you know, put down the, you don't need the chains. I'm coming with you. So let the other guys go. Who's in charge of this arrest? Jesus says, when he was in front of Caiaphas, when he was in front of Annas, Jesus was telling them what they were doing wrong. Remember, it was Jesus who's in charge. He's still in charge, and it's almost like Pilate knows it.
Welcome to Apply Within, a verse-by-verse study of the Word of God with Pastor Bob Davis of North Country Chapel. We invite you to join with us as we, by the power of God's Holy Spirit, apply His Word within our own hearts as we study line upon line, precept upon precept, verse by verse, through the Bible. Jesus is silent before Pilate as our study of John continues in chapter 19, verse 6. Here's Pastor Bob.
Jesus came forth wearing the crown of thorns and the purple robe, and Pilate saith unto them, Behold the man. He wants the chief priests, he wants the Jewish people, he wants everybody to see the condition. Jesus has been beaten, he's been punched around, he's been whipped. In verse 6, when the chief priests, therefore, and officers saw him, they cried out, saying, Crucify him, crucify him. Pilate saith unto them, You take him and crucify him, for I find no fault in him. Remember, publicly, three times, out loud, he said, this is the governor, innocent. And this is the third time. And the Jews answered and said, We have a law. And by our law, Leviticus 24, 16, they're talking about, by our law, he should be put to death. He ought to die because he made himself the Son of God. He claimed to be deity. He claimed to be God Almighty in human flesh. And they said, that's blasphemy. And Pilate, in anger, of course, frustrated, says what? You crucify him. I find him completely innocent. No charges. Not guilty. And they say, we can't crucify him, but you can. Now, in chapter 19, verse 8, when Pilate, therefore, heard that saying, what saying? Because he made himself. In other words, he says he is God in human flesh. When Pilate therefore heard that, he was even more afraid. And he went again into the judgment hall, and he said to Jesus, Whence art thou? Simple question. But Jesus didn't make a peep. He did not answer the question. He stood there. And then Pilate said, or then saith Pilate unto him, Speakest thou not to me? You're not going to say anything now? Don't you know? Knowest thou that I have power to crucify you, and I have power to set you free or to release you? Don't you know I'm in charge here, dude? He's angry. It's frustrating him. He's scared. He can't get this off his hands. He cannot get this guy out of his sight. He wants to let him go. He's trying to let him go. He's almost pushing him out the window, and the people won't let him do it. He's innocent. Called innocent by the governor, the Roman governor, three times publicly. Innocent. No guilt. No charges. No nothing. Innocent. And Jesus answered, Thou couldst not have no power at all against me, except it were given you from above. Therefore, or because of that, he that delivered me unto thee has the greater sin. Pilate is under such conviction right now, he doesn't even know which way to turn. He cannot get this guy off his hands because he's a coward. And he can't and won't do what he knows is the right thing to do. Isaiah 53, verse 7. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, beaten, yet he opened not his mouth. He remained silent. he is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers is silent or mute, so he opened not his mouth. Where are you from? Where are you from? Jesus just looks at him. Jesus already answered that question, didn't he, earlier? Where are you from? My kingdom. I'm a king, and my kingdom is not of this world. I'm not from this world. Right? So Jesus just looks at him. You may not know this. Maybe you do, but have any of you ever been afraid? Okay, two of you. Okay, well, then you two know what I'm talking about. Fear and anger go together, right? And that's what happens right here, because Pilate is afraid of this man. He's afraid, and none of this makes sense to him, but Jesus just looking at him. Why would you get mad at that? Because he's afraid, and he just lashes out. It's like, don't do that to me, you know, kind of thing. Well, he's angry. So he gets angry, and he strikes out. You're not going to answer me? Really? You're going to sit there and be quiet or stand there and be quiet? Do you realize who I am? I'm paraphrasing. Do you understand that who is saying this to you? So I'm the boss here. I'm in charge, right? You do know, don't you, that I have the authority and the power to have you crucified or to set you free. Well, why don't you set me free then? You'd said three times I'm not guilty. Now, that's what I'd have said. But Jesus is remaining still. You're not going to answer me. I have the power and the authority to have you crucified, or I can just say, let him go, and you'll walk free. You sure you don't want to answer me? And Jesus speaks, not because he's forced to. I mentioned it when we started way back there in the garden, that Jesus Christ has been in complete control of his own arrest since they came to get him. Just, you know, put down the, you don't need the chains. You don't need the knives and the cudgels. You don't need the swords and the spears. Put them down. If I don't want to be arrested, I could call 7 legions of angels and you wouldn't arrest me. I'm coming with you. So let the other guys go. Who's in charge of this arrest? Jesus says, when he was in front of Caiaphas, when he was in front of Annas, the real high priest, and Caiaphas, the high priest that Rome put on the high priest throne. So, right? Jesus was telling them what they were doing wrong. Remember? It was Jesus who's in charge. He's still in charge, and it's almost like Pilate knows it when Jesus speaks, and we're reminded that it's he that is in control of the situation. Just like now in my life, I'm pretty sure I'm doing this, but who's really in control of it? And look at Jesus, wait, I'll say it, faith. Look at his trust in his Father. Don't you know I have the authority and the power? And Jesus says this, I'll paraphrase it, whatever power you have has been given to you by my Father in heaven, or you wouldn't have any power at all. That's a basic paraphrase. Power you've got? My Father gave that to you. If he wouldn't have given it to you, you wouldn't even be in this position. So it's not you that scares me. It's not you that impresses me. My Father is the one I'm here to please. My Father is the one in absolute control here. What he wants done, that's what we're going to do. Now, everybody, there's the heart we're looking for. A heart that is so simple. And Jesus was brilliant. He's God in human flesh. So simple when it comes to the faith and the trust. My God's in control, and I'm going to trust him. And so Rome didn't give you this power. You didn't earn it. You don't deserve it. But you're in this position because my Father put you there. This power was given to you by God Almighty, my Father in heaven, for his purposes and his plans. Now, has the word of God changed since Jesus stood before Pilate? I don't believe so. But let me read to you that what Paul writes to the Romans, the Apostle Paul, writes to the church at Rome. Chapter 13, you read the whole thing when you get some time. I'm just going to read a couple of verses. Romans 13, verses 1 and 2. Paul writes to all of us, every true believer, let every soul, each one of us, be submitted to the higher powers. For there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God, even the Democrats sometimes, right? Or the Republicans, whoever, whatever side you're not on, do you understand that God still allows that power, right? The powers that be are ordained of God. Verse 2, Romans 13. Whosoever therefore resists the power, resists the ordinance of God. And they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation. All governments, and in the Greek all means all governments are ordained by God, and all authority, whether political or spiritual, comes from God. True? The Bible says, I'll paraphrase it, but read through Proverbs and read through the Psalms when you get chances. The Bible says that countries are given the leaders that they deserve. So we think about the United States of America and we say, the Christians, me and you, I'm not going to leave it to the non-believers. They don't know. But to every one of us, we need to be praying for our country, right? Because we're going to obey the authorities that are above us, because that's the thing to do. Jesus is God Almighty in human flesh, and he is respecting and obeying the authority that's over him. All he's saying is, yes, you do have this, the authority, but my Father gave it to you. In other words, I'm listening to a higher authority here. You wouldn't have this if my Father didn't place you in this position. But he doesn't stop there. He says, therefore, or because of that, because we know that God is in this, he that delivered me to you has the greater sin. And so listen closely. You're a Gentile. You have no idea what I'm talking about, Pilate. But he that delivered me to you, or that brought me in front of you, has the greater sin. That says all kinds of things. I won't dwell on it too long, but think about it. Some say Jesus was referring to Judas. He's got the greater sin than you do, Pilate. Some say, no, it was Caiaphas, the high priest. Some say, no, it was really the Jewish leaders together and the Jewish people who joined with them, crucified, right? I think it was all those. I think that's what Jesus is referring to. All of those. See, Pilate doesn't know the Bible. He doesn't know the Word of God. He doesn't know the promises of Messiah. He doesn't know what this whole Messiah junk is about. He just thinks the Jewish people are crazy. It's something to do with their religion. He doesn't even understand it. So, you see, he's guilty, but listen closely, not as guilty as the Jews. Why? They know because they have the scriptures and they know Messiah is coming and they should have recognized him and they didn't. We look back and go, how could they have missed it? And then look around us. These are the last days. The Bible describes it to us and still people are arguing. You really think we're in the last days? Have you read your Bible? Yeah. Well, if you didn't look at it again, you're missing it. Of all people, we should be the ones recognizing it. Why? Because we have the Word of God. Are we taking him at his word? Pilate was guilty, yes. But Caiaphas and Judas and all the Jewish people were more guilty, has the greater guilt. Luke chapter 12, this is just one little spot, but Luke chapter 12, verses 47 and 48. I know you'll recognize this, but listen. And that servant, which knew his Lord's will and prepared not himself, neither did according to his will, shall be beaten with many stripes. But he that knew not and did commit things worthy of stripes shall be beaten with few. For unto whomsoever much is given of him or her, shall much be required, and to whom men have committed much, of him they will ask the more. Once I say I'm a Christian, all right, there's a little bit more responsibility put on me just by God himself. Not pressure. God loves me and he's merciful. He wants us to grow. But you see, that's why you hear me joke sometimes and say, well, I'm a part of the Christian mafia. I know too much to get out. I can't just stop, walk away now. I just know more of the Word of God than I used to know 30 years ago. And you're learning and you're growing too. And God will hold you accountable. Not your sin, you're forgiven by grace through faith, but it holds you accountable for what you do know. So you see, there are degrees of rewards and there are degrees of those like Judas. The degree of his punishment would be greater than Pilate's, because Pilate is completely ignorant, doesn't even know what's going on in front of him. Still just as guilty, true. But you notice that some crimes get you life in prison. Some crimes get you life, if they're felonies the right kind, get you life without parole. Some kinds get you life until, you know, Jesus comes back. Or sometimes they're so serious, they in some states get you the death penalty itself. True? But if you rob candy from the store, you usually get a slap on the wrist and a certain amount of a fine, and you don't go to prison at all. You might have to do something ugly like community service. That's punishment in America. That's what Christians are supposed to do all the time, is community service. True? We're so silly.
Gonna have to catch me first.
Yeah, okay. All right, so let's go on. Just about done right here. Look at verse 12. From thenceforth, or from that moment right there, well, all Jesus had to say is, you're guilty, but the ones that turn me over to you, that's the greater sin, more guilt. From thenceforth, from that moment on, Pilate sought to release him. He's been trying to get rid of him. Now he's determined, I'm going to get this guy out of here. But the Jews cried out, verse 12, saying, if thou let this man go, thou art not Caesar's friend. Whosoever maketh himself a king speaks against Caesar. When Pilate therefore heard that saying, he brought Jesus forth once again, sat down in the judgment seat in a place that is called the pavement, in the Hebrew, Gabbatha. Gabbatha means the pavement is elevated a little bit higher, almost like the judge is sitting up a little bit on a higher desk than everybody. Okay, right? And it was the preparation of the Passover, about the sixth hour. And he said to the Jews, behold your king. But they cried out, away with him, away with him, crucify him. Pilate said to them, shall I crucify your king? The chief priests answered, we have no king but Caesar. Then he delivered Jesus, therefore, unto them to be crucified. And they took Jesus and led him away. Innocent three times. You're going to find they put the crime above the person's head written in a little, on some parchment, and they put it up, the crime above the heads of each of the prisoners that are crucified. And his crime, all it says is Jesus of Nazareth, King of the Jews. No crime. He's never accused of any crime, and he was crucified. Death penalty for nothing. Well, except it was for my sin and yours, if you will receive it. Because Jesus is a gentleman and he won't beat you up and shake the spots off to you. You go, uncle, I'll receive you. Get off. He'll knock at the door of your heart, Revelation 3:20, and there's no doorknob on the outside. He'll knock. But you and I, we must open our own heart and invite him. He says, come to me and I'll give you rest. You'll find rest to your souls. And what do we say? Give me that rest, Lord. I invite you to come into my heart. Right? Pilate's too weak to stand up. He's a coward. And he says, I'm going to let him go. Hey, if you let this man go, you are certainly no friend of Caesar. And that's a threat, by the way. Whosoever makes himself a king speaks directly against King Caesar himself. Would you like us to tell Caesar what you've done by letting a criminal go free? We'll tattle if you want us to. Well, Pilate doesn't want that, does he? See, he's a coward. Because Rome would crucify him. So Pilate shouts out once again, "Behold your king." And here comes the deceit of the heart of men, mankind. They said this, "Whoever makes himself a king speaks directly against Caesar, and we have no king but Caesar." Do they hate Caesar? Yes, they hate him. They would kill him if they could. They would rip Pilate's head off if they could. There were insurrections all the time, so much so that poor Pilate, a few years later, gets called back, and they take his uniform away from him, and he's no longer anything because there were so many uprisings and so many killings. And here they are. Hey, you know, we have no king but Caesar. You hate Caesar. You don't want Caesar. Hey, that's got nothing to do with anything right now. We hate this guy worse. So kill him, then we'll worry about Caesar. You see, that's fickle. That is a double heart. You know, and the psalmist writes, "Please give me an undivided heart, a heart that is for you, not half in and half out, like a hokey pokey Christian. You put your right leg in, then you change your mind and pull your right leg back out." No, we're all in. We're all in by God's grace. It's not something we're playing with. I'm sort of saved today, but I don't know, the game's on, so I might have to change, you know. No, game or no game, we're still his by grace through faith, right? If you let him go, you're not a friend of Caesar, and we'll tell Caesar if you'd like that. Pilate shouts out, "No, here's your king." They formally read, when he said, "This is your king," he said it out loud, "This is your king." And what did they say? "We reject that king. We have no king but Caesar." What did Israel do? They rejected their Messiah out loud, publicly. "We don't want him. That's not our Messiah." Still today, many of them are saying the same thing. And they're proud to announce it publicly. "We have no king but Caesar. Guy's not our king. We don't want him as our king. We reject him." Now, he just slips in there. Mark mentions it. Luke and John here, John mentioned it. And what he says is this. It was about the sixth hour. Okay, John is talking from Roman standard time. Mark will say that Jesus is crucified at the third hour, but he was going with the Hebrew, with the Jewish time clock. Okay, now the sixth hour for the Romans is up midnight, and now the hours start over. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. So guess what time's the sixth hour is what? Good, 6 a.m. Remember, he had trials all night. And because we've been reading it and I'm going slow, we're saying, "Man, this is taking days." No, it just went all night. Now it's 6 in the morning, right? He says about 6. So it could have been a little after, right? Whatever. But about 6. They took Jesus away to be crucified. So Roman time, that would be 0600. And Jesus now is heading to be crucified. We have to stop here. He shouldn't have been crucified, except it's what the Father wanted. Wait, before the foundation of the world, before the world was created, God knew what mankind would do. He knew what Lucifer, Satan, would do. And he made his plan before the world was even created, before there was anything called man and woman. Jesus isn't doing this because he needed to get to heaven. He came from heaven to do this so that he could go back there and take you and me with him.
Thank you for listening to Apply Within with Pastor Bob Davis. Apply Within is the radio outreach ministry of North Country Chapel. Our Sunday morning Bible studies are at 9 and 11 a.m. We also have a Friday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. and a Monday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. You can download today's message in its entirety at northcountrychapel.com/studies. That's northcountrychapel.com/studies. If you would like a copy of today's message, write to us and ask for the message with today's date. The address is Apply Within, 2281 West Celtis, Post Falls, Idaho, 83854. Or call us at 1-800-572-8851. That number again, 1-800-572-8851. Our mobile app is available for iPhone and Android. Download it to listen to full-length studies, watch the live stream of our services, or to find out more about church events. If you have been blessed by the teaching or have prayer requests that you would like to share with us, write, email, or call us as well. Please join with us every Monday through Friday as we study together verse by verse on Apply Within, sponsored by North Country Chapel. God bless you.